Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of The Sugarland Express.
I watched the second half of The Sugarland Express.
And this is The Other Half.
Steven Stinkers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new month on The Other Half podcast. This month, we are going to be focusing on Steven Spielberg movies, probably one of the most highly sought after contemporary directors of our time, living directors, made blockbuster, literally created the term blockbuster with his film Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be looking at the movies that were not as successful in his career.
The unsuccessful ones, the stinkers.
We went back and watched, forever ago, we watched Always, which was, I think, one of his biggest.
It was one of the worst ones.
One of the worst ones, just critically.
But this one, this one is the worst grossing movie besides Duel. But Duel was on TV, so
Duel
I don't think that
like
really
a
counts.
TV thing.
So this might be probably the worst grossing movie.
Yeah, well, this was his like first movie.
Yeah, his first like theatrical release, I believe.
Yeah, because Duel was, like you said, a TV film. Yeah. This was his first like actual movie with Goldie Hawn. And
driving involved. There's lots of driving.
A lot of drive, just like Duel.
Yep, lots of driving.
I liked this movie a lot.
Yeah?
I thought this movie fucking rocked.
I did actually quite like
it's
this
so
movie.
It's so good!
I was very surprised. At first, I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is. I didn't know what the plot was.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah,
but after a while, I was like, dude, this movie's fun in a depressing way.
It cooks. I love the four. I wrote down, there's one bit I wrote here where I'm like, I think it was like 12 minutes in, and I'm like, this movie has so much forward momentum. It's insane.
Yes.
Like, I know, like, I think 12 minutes in, I'm like, I know everything about the characters. I know what the stakes are. I care. And I'm like, okay, like, here it is. Music is, here we go. The movie has energy, forward momentum, and humanity and humor. I'm 12 minutes in and I am invested and understand everything, characters and stakes. Wow, Steven, you know what you're doing.
Wow.
Like,
but the audience didn't. They're like, no, we're not going to watch
what
this.
What are we doing? Well, I mean, nobody
didn't know
who this
guy was.
Also, I'm like, I don't know. Like, it feels almost sort of like a proto, like, Raising Arizona.
Yeah, kind of.
Like two kind of like scummy people, I guess, in Raising Arizona. One of them's a cop, but cops are scummy. Two scummy people who like have like a kid and they don't know what to do and they're trying to like, you know, make it good
make it
for
work.
The kid or whatever.
Kind of, yeah. It reminds me of that and like a little Bonnie and Clyde in a way.
A little Bonnie
but
and
this
Clyde.
This is based off a true story.
It is. Oh, goddamn. That's right. The movie opens saying based on a true story that happened in Texas in 1969.
And Mike's like,
oh,
that's bullshit.
I didn't believe it. Well, it's like because it had like.
It's very, it's loose, but it's they changed all the names, but yeah, it
so pretty
happen.
Similar thing happened.
Yeah,
that's pretty
so.
Exciting. It takes place in Texas as well.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I love about this movie, and I think this is something we're going to continue doing, and this is something I've kind of noticed in certain like Spielberg movies. There's a lot of like overlapping natural dialogue.
Yes,
which I kind of love.
What makes everything feel real?
Yes,
I think that was very novel at the time too.
Yeah,
like people overlapping, it felt very full. One thing I also noticed is a lot of panning shots and people walking towards the camera.
Oh, tons of that, which is like something that Spielberg continued to do.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
There are like the lenses he uses in this movie are insane. Some of these one shots are crazy. There's one shot in this movie where I was just like, I can't imagine anyone doing this now. Where it's literally like the camera is inside the car and we're just like. It's a literal 360 degree shot of like a car outside of the car that we're in. And we're just following that car and we're hearing like dialogue over radio or whatever. And I'm just like, this is insane. Like, how did he do this with like film cameras
in the 70s
on no budget?
Yeah.
Like, it was nuts to me. And like, this is like a nobody director. Like, how did he convince all these people to do this? Like, I don't know. I was so impressed. Goldie Hawn is adorable in this.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. Very charismatic.
The guy who plays Clovis is great.
And then the cop guy.
I like him.
I like cop guy.
Just like Maxwell, the guy that's like sort of stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
Of this situation. Everyone in this movie is great. I loved how it was shot.
The captain was good too.
Captain. Oh no, what's his name?
Captain Copman. I don't know.
Captain Copman.
Yeah. Matter. That's the thing is, all these characters, you know, it feels weird but to say, but like, if you don't know the character's name, but you like know who they are anyway, I still feel like that's a good way of like knowing them. Like, you know their character and who they are by their either job title or like something else, because it's like, but I know he's Captain Copman. He feels like Captain Copman. This feels like this is Copman in the middle. He's Copman in the middle of all this shit. And then you got Clovis and Goldie Hawn, who's Mary Lou, I believe.
Close. Lou Jean.
Lou Jean. I always messed him up. I'm pretty sure I wrote Mary Lou multiple times.
The other thing I noticed about Spielberg movies, particularly in this era, like E.T. is a similar thing. Or I guess even like Indiana Jones is similar to this. Characters which are like inextricably connected to objects. Like, one of my favorite examples of this is the guy in E.T. who is searching for E.T. and hunting him down. Is you don't even see his face for most of the movie. You just see the keys that are attached to his belt loop. Obviously, Indy, you've got the whip and the hat and all that. And in this movie, it's like you've got, like, the cop that, like, chews bubblegum. Like, that's just his whole thing.
Yeah, that guy.
Right? All he is. And it's like, you just, I'm like, I just, like, you know, the cop that chews bubblegum? And you're like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Like, Spielberg is so good about, like making it
Well, it's
obvious.
Funny because that guy's also, like, a bit character. Yeah. He's not really a big character. No. Even though you mentioned, like, Indy and the guy with the keys. The guy with the keys is kind of a minor character, too, though.
Yeah. But then what, but he, like, it's weird. The keys feel, like, concerning.
Yeah, that's true. Walkie-talkies feel concerning in this movie.
Because they're supposed to be guns. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So let me tell you about how the movie opens. Steins show that we are in the middle of nowhere in Texas. We see a guy stripping an abandoned car in the foreground as a woman is let off a bus. That guy stripping the car, never fucking seen again.
Cool.
I love it. Yep. It just instantly puts you in the space.
Yeah.
You know?
People are struggling here.
Yeah. You see the lady getting off the bus. She walks down the road with her luggage and sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
She wipes tears, but she's headstrong.
Hell yeah.
People stare as she arrives at the Department of Corrections. And I wrote down, she is framed by a fence, which makes it feel like she is trapped in this situation.
Oh my God.
Yes. We learn her name is Lou Jean. And she's looking for her husband, Clovis, who's just arrived here. She brought a basket of goodies for him. Which the security guard thoroughly searches. And she also asks if she can kiss Clovis. Like, is that cool if I, like, touch him or kiss him or whatever? I also wrote down Steven wrote this story, but not the screenplay, which is interesting because Steven Spielberg is not known to have written a lot of the movies that he has directed.
Interesting.
I think the only movie he has, like, a writer-director credit on is, the movie with the aliens. Not E.T., the other one. Close Encounters. Yeah, that movie fucking rocks. Anyway, so she meets with Clovis and they immediately embrace. And then she says, I'm going to divorce you. I'm leaving you. And he's just like, wait, what's going on? What's wrong? Are you okay? And then she's like, you didn't even mention the fact that we have a son together. And she says the welfare took their son and put him in a foster home because she got put in a women's facility as well. So it sounds like the both of them have, like, come from a pretty rough situation. And she says, I want my child back and I want your help. And our son is currently living in Sugar Land, which is why this is called the Sugar Land Express. And she says she has to go to the bathroom. So she walks in the men's bathroom rather than the woman's bathroom. He follows her into the men's bathroom. And while in the men's bathroom, he's like, hey, you're in the men's bathroom. And she says, prove it. And then she's like, basically like, fuck me.
Yeah.
And she starts, like, embracing him and she starts taking off her clothes. And as she's taking his clothes off, as he's taking her clothes off, he's like, you have two pairs of jeans. You have two jackets on. What's going on? And she says, well, you're breaking out.
Oh, shit.
So I'm going to wear the clothes under these clothes and you're going to wear the clothes that I'm wearing over. And we're just going to walk out of here. And he says, like, I'm in here for only like three to four more months.
That long, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I can just survive that. Like, I don't need to worry about that. And she says, look, I have $65 here. I have all this, like, this plan. We're gonna go to Sugar Land, we're gonna get our son back. And he's like, how'd you get those $65? And she's like, don't worry about that. I think she might have had to do some sex work to do that.
Okay.
So she's like, I'm gonna break you out. And then she's like, if you don't come with me, this is the last time you're ever going to see me. So he ends up going along with it. A fellow inmate named Hubie tells him that this is stupid and threatens to tell him. But then Lou Jean kisses Hubie to shut him up. And she's like, no one's going to worry about four measly old months.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, well, then, girl, you could have just let him, like, sit it out for, like...
But the kid. They need to get the kid back.
So they hop a ride with Hubie's family to escape. The dad says that their son ain't no good, but the mom says that she's cool with Hubie still. Okay. And these two are just, like, normal people.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even actors. They're just, like, normal people that have been, like, thrown a script, and then they sort of, like, fall over. Like, it almost feels like a... Oh my God, the guy who made like Florida Project and stuff.
Oh my God, why can't I think of his name?
Sean Baker, yeah. Feels like a Sean Baker movie where it's just like, he's just like shooting people and they're just shooting them with a camera and the people are just like, blah, I'm from Texas. I don't know anything about acting. It's so great. I love it. I wrote down, the music is built out of percussion and harmonica, including the sound of breathing in and out to play the harmonica. Does this ever come into your half the movie, the music at all?
Did you pay attention? No, it's very similar score. This is the first time John Williams worked with Steven Spielberg.
I didn't know John Williams did the music. music. I was not paying attention. Mm-hmm. Oh, how embarrassing. That's cool, though.
It's all right.
Department of, so the cop Maxwell, mm-hmm. Is driving around. And in the back is like this drunk guy who also feels like a real person. He's like slurring his words, even though he says he's not drunk and he's not making any sense. Mm-hmm. And Hubie's family, the parents are bad drivers. And so there's lots of cars behind them honking and telling them to speed up. And I wrote down, they also seem like real people. They're not reading lines, more so just sort of like talking at the camera. Mm-hmm. And they're so slow. They're driving so slow that Maxwell, the cop, ends up pulling them over. And so Hubie's families get out of the car to talk to Maxwell, the cop, and they hand over the license registration. And the cop is like, look, I'm just going to give you a warning, but I got to go check out your car to make sure it's okay.
Okay.
And Lou Jean and Clovis see this, and they immediately think the cop is coming to, like, pick them up. So they're like, we got to get the fuck out of here. So Lou Jean immediately jumps in the driver's seat and seals the car and drives off. And Maxwell's like, what the fuck is going on? And the old people are like, that's our car. And so then Maxwell's like, we got to go get him. So he jumps in the car and the guy in the back seat's like, what's going on? Just let me out. I don't know what's going on. So gives chase. I said the trunk in the back is just babbling about being a good farm boy. I wrote down Steven's first chase scene.
No, he did Duel.
Oh, yeah.
And that was all chase scene. That was his warm up. Yeah.
I wrote out, it's messy but limited. We understand the geography and the stakes perfectly. We follow everything
his
and we
chase
feel
scenes
the danger.
Are good. There's a shootout later where I'm like, I don't know. What's
no, it's kind of rough.
It's a little rough.
Yeah. You know, it's the first time. First shootout, probably. There's probably no shootout in Duel.
I don't think so.
Or like, I don't know, Columbo, the first episode of Columbo.
Yeah, you're right.
I wrote down, Lou Jean is not a confident driver, nearly runs into an oncoming truck and then crashes into a tree. Maxwell, the cop, goes out to check and make sure if everything's okay and calls it in. And just as he goes to help Lou Jean out of the car, ensuring that she isn't hurt, she undoes the cop's gun, like the holster, and grabs the cop's gun and tosses it over to Clovis. And Clovis grabs the gun and points it at the cop. And he's like, look, man, I never shot anybody, but like, I'm willing to do that right now for like my kid or whatever.
Yeah.
And so Clovis is like, hey guy, get away from the cop car, the trunk in the back of the cop car, like get the fuck out of here. And he tells the cop to get inside of his own car. Mm-hmm. And the cop's like, here's the thing, man, right now you've done a lot of bad stuff.
Yep.
But if I get in that car with you and you're in that car with me, that's kidnapping.
Yeah.
And that's a felony and you will absolutely go to prison again. Clovis just fucking shoots near the cop. It doesn't shoot the cop. Uh-huh. And the cop's like, all right, fine, I'm getting in there. So they all get in the car.
Hey, just give him a fair warning. He's just like letting you know, like, this is the consequence if you do this.
It's kind of great. Like, I really like this cop. Later on, it's revealed he's only been a cop for like less than a year.
Okay.
Like just a few months on the force. Yeah. And so even more so, I'm like, damn, this poor fucking guy.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I just got here.
He's just caught in the middle of all these two idiots. I wrote down, the music has now added instruments now that the cop has been added to the scheme.
Oh, you noticed that, but not John Williams.
I did not notice the name John Williams. Cops search the scene. They identify the car that's crashed on the side of the road. And they identify the owners as the old couple. So they're like, we got to find this old couple.
Oh, shit.
Because they don't know what's going on. But there's a smart cop, Ernie, who comes across the old couple and on the trail. And he's just like, he's like, what happened? And then they're like, oh, some fucking ex-cons stole our car. So Ernie ends up driving down the street, or down the road, because it's a long road. It's in Texas. So there's just like a lot of
Sugarland Express.
Sugarland Express. And so he ends up driving down the road, finding Maxwell, Lou Jean, and Clovis in the car, comes across all of them. And I'm like, okay, guys, got to be fucking quiet. Got to be fucking calm. No, Lou Jean immediately pulls a shotgun out at him and says, stop following us.
Like, Lou Jean's crazy.
There's no fucking way you're gonna get out of this. We cut to top brass. They're in on this because not only is this a kidnapping, this is a hijacking.
Yep, it's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. So we see several police vehicles and car washes and drive-thrus and donut shops. They all jump into action. And the news is also following everybody too. The media is a big part of this film as well. So we learn that the cop who's caught in the middle has only been working for 9 months. Mm-hmm. Maxwell.
Not even a year.
And there's a blockade set up in preparation. I wrote down, there's this one incredible shot inside of the cop car showing cars circling the vehicle, people in the vehicle, like Norma Jean? Oh, no, what's her name? Clovis and Lou Jean.
Lou Jean
are pointing guns at the actors in the car driving around the car. I'm like, how did he do this? This is insane. And I wrote down, there's dialogue where the cop in the car across from it is talking to the people in here. Total 360 degree shot.
That's awesome.
Fucking like Children of Men, eat your fucking heart out. This is insane. Anyway, Clovis explains that he's only interested in saving him and Lu Jean's son. He's not interested in murdering anybody. He's not in it for the money. They just want to figure out what's going on with his son. And so the cop who's stuck in the middle of this, Maxwell, he's nearly out of gas. And so the cops, and he's like on it. There's this one like part of the road that looks like that one bell after another road that has all the bumps.
The bumps.
He's like on the top, and then he just like slowly like rolls back. And Lu Jean and Clovis are like, "This is a fucking trap. This is a plan. You know, you're just gonna get us in trouble." And he's like, "No, man, that's not it. I'm out of gas. There's nothing I can do."
Yeah.
So then the cops let them through the blockade, and they what is it? They push the car to a gas station.
Oh, okay.
It's crazy.
And they just let him do it.
They just let him do it.
What else are they going to do? They're going to shoot the guy?
Like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So then the police arrive at a house where Langston, their son, is at.
Baby Langston.
Baby Langston. And it's a little baby. And he's adopted. He's got a mom and a dad.
Yeah.
There's like no reason for these two to be getting in on any of this. Nope, you know?
Not at all.
But it honestly, it feels almost like tragic. That all this is for nothing. Like, Langston seems to have a nice family.
Yep.
That'll take care of him. I don't know. Anyway.
He's adopted. Yeah, he's not an orphanage or anything.
No,
right?
He's like, yeah, this isn't, you know, this isn't Byzantium or whatever.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to turn into a vampire.
No. So, anyway, Maxwell's vehicle runs out of gas, rolls down the hill. Clovis talks to Captain Tanner, who ends up pushing the empty vehicle. Captain Tanner is the captain.
Ah,
that's
Tanner.
The big guy.
Okay.
And he's able to get the criminals. He can see the criminals. And he realizes they aren't bad people, just desperate. There's this insane shot where the captain is pushing the vehicle into the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this cool, like, split diopter shot. You know what a split diopter shot is?
I don't know what diopter is. Is that okay. Like a cool dinosaur?
It's like a stegosaurus.
Oh, okay, cool.
No, it's this cool thing. Brando Palma does this a lot where he will, because when you're, as you know.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Go ahead and explain it.
It's what where the screen splits in half.
No.
Damn, all right.
Close,
I tried.
Though. Close.
I tried.
Very close. Very good contact clues with Brian De Palma. As you know, when you're using certain lenses, not everything is in focus.
Uh-huh.
You know, usually like the foreground or the background is in focus, depending on where like.
The oh, lens I see. Yes.
So split diopter is when you will put another lens on top of the lens so that the thing in the foreground and the thing in the background are both in focus simultaneously.
But nothing else is.
Well, there's nothing else in the frame.
Right. I mean, but like the background still like.
Really out of focus, yeah. Probably. But yeah, and so it's this cool split diopter shot where you see the cop's eyes in the rearview mirror, and that's in the foreground. And in the background, you see Lu Jean in the back of the car just sort of waving at him.
Mm.
And it's in this moment, you see in his eyes, and you're just like, these aren't bad people.
No.
You know, like, they shouldn't die. Like, they shouldn't be, you know, like, they're just all, they're just like crazy, you know, confused kids, basically.
Yeah.
It's like a moment of humanity.
Yeah.
So Tanner pushes him into the gas station. Attendant is confused and shocked by the convoy of cops. Clovis says that if Lu Jean needs to go to the bathroom, now is the time. And she says, I don't need to go.
All right.
Lu Jean and Clovis.
Come in play later, huh?
Oh, yeah. Lu Jean and Clovis listen to news about them on the radio. Lu Jean is sad because the news seems to call her an unfit mother.
Damn.
It makes her very upset. And Maxwell is confused because he's like, you broke him out of pre-release? You only had 4 months left in prison and you broke him out? Like, he's like, what the fuck is the matter with
you? Why'd you do that?
Yeah. They pull over where Lu Jean can get gold stamps. You know what gold stamps are?
I have no idea what gold stamps are.
This is like a big thing where Lu Jean really liked collecting gold stamps. I think they might just be like stamps that are like either very cool or very valuable. She's all about collecting them gold stamps. I didn't know if this was going to come into play in your half the movie at all.
Apparently, it's Italian. No? I don't know. Never mind. I have no idea.
It's an NFT?
It's an NFT.
So
it's old school NFT.
We see two random cops. One of them is the bubblegum cop. And
bubblegum cop.
They get two. Yeah, bubblegum cop. My favorite video game.
Favorite video game. So good.
Yeah.
Great platforming.
Two random cops. They have really cool new vehicles. And they're just like, hey, these vehicles are really cool. You want to, like, you know that thing that's going on in Houston? You want to go, like, check it out? And one of the cops is like, that's, like, 3 hours away. And the other cop's like, yeah, what else do we have to do? And they're like, all right, let's do it.
Yep.
They don't do it because they want to serve justice. They want to get in on the action. They think it's fun.
Yeah.
I think that's an important thing between these two. They're just like two boys who got nothing better to do.
That's really funny.
Lu Jean is reading a magazine about buying supplies for their baby. She admits that, yes, she does need to go to the bathroom, and she should have gone earlier, and everyone's very upset at her.
Mm-hmm.
Tanner Rotan realizes that they're a bunch of mixed up kids, and they get a porta potty delivered to Lu Jean. Clovis is clever. He checks to make sure that the porta potty is safe, that the porta potty isn't hooked from the truck that brought it in. And then he says, I got a shotgun here. I'm going to shoot at the porta potty. If anybody's in that porta potty, they better get out of there.
So is the porta potty like just a small seat they gave to him, or is like
no?
A
it's a full on wooden porta potty.
And they're driving while doing this.
No, they pull off to the side.
Oh, okay,
right.
Got it.
And then he's like, if there's anybody in there, I'm gonna shoot. And then there is a cop in there, and he like drops the gun, and he's like, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And then he like, so then now Lu Jean can go take a shit. Media arrives at the baby Langdon's family house, and they want to interview baby Langdon.
Oh yeah, he's got a lot to say, like Google Gaga.
Big.
By the way, this kid,
yeah,
ugly as fuck.
Ugly as
shit. He's one of the
shit.
Ugliest babies I've ever
Gross
seen.
Gross teeth.
It looks like
awful face.
This is when I see him. He looks like a little bat boy. I took a little screenshot. He looks like a little bat.
He does look like a bat boy. He really does. Like, he's got a big fucking stupid forehead.
He's got terrible hair.
I don't like him.
Yeah.
I wonder where he is now. I'll look up where
that kid went.
Down the toilet.
Down the toilet.
Lu Jean and Clovis drive Maxwell to a chicken drive-thru place for food because they're hungry.
Hell yeah.
Cops follow. They prepare to put Lu Jean and Clovis down with snipers.
It's funny that this feels just kind of like a weird charged road trip movie.
It does. It's a road trip movie with stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just like hanging out by the chicken shack or whatever. And Lu Jean and Clovis are just like, hey, we're going to get some chicken. And Maxwell's like, I'm hungry. Can I have some chicken? Then we cut to like two seasoned snipers. And they're like, yeah, we can fucking take them out. And they put bullets in their ears for earplugs.
I saw that.
That was cool as fuck.
Yeah, that's definitely some crazy, crazy cool shit.
And they're about to kill him.
Texas mode.
That's right. But they don't have 100% accuracy.
Yeah.
And so Tanner's like, no, don't take the shot. We need 100%. They're like, we have 90%. And then he's like, no, we need 100%. And he says that he's proud that over the 18 years in the force, he's never killed anyone. I'm like, boy, have times changed.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to think.
I wrote down. So there's two things I wanted to keep in mind when watching this movie, and I'll continue to do. One is the overlapping dialogue. There's eight scenes with overlapping dialogue. Mm-hmm. And where's the goddamn horizon?
Yeah.
From the Fablemans.
From the Fablemans.
And I will say, the horizon is almost never in the middle of the frame.
Yep.
So good job, Mr.
Scorsese.
Mr. Scorsese.
For telling him that what to do.
Yeah, no. Mr. Tom Ford?
Tom Ford.
No, John
David
Ford.
Lynch.
David Lynch.
David Lynch.
Where's the goddamn horizon? It's boring as shit. But anyway, that's my half of the movie.
Wow, that was quick. All right, so... They got to call. This guy's
we gotta get out of here in an hour.
Hey, trying to shorten these podcasts. They go on for a long time.
I'm doing what I can do.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Doing a great job. The guy says, my butt's tired. I don't know. My butt's tired. So let's call this whole thing off. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Oh, yeah.
Because I have literally no idea. Yeah. So there's a bunch of people driving, a bunch of cops following around. They say, anyway, we can help this baby. And then they start talking about like having secret plans. And then these deputies off to the side, they try to ram them off the road, but they end up crashing. Whoa. They tried to like pop up out of nowhere and tried to like kind of hit them off the side. Mm-hmm. But then they end up crashing into a bunch of cars, and it turns into like a Blues Brothers set where it's just a ton of things.
It feels very like proto Blues Brothers.
Yes.
Yeah. With all the cops and shit.
And they're all crashing in this moment too. So it's very accurate.
Very
to
much
Blues
so.
Brothers. And I think it was the bubblegum cop that actually was the one who drove forward.
Oh, nice.
I didn't know exactly. I'm pretty sure
it's a nice car, so it'd be funny if that was the reason.
Yes, that's what
I'm
thinking.
It's a brand new car, yeah.
He's the one who caused all the crashes.
Yeah.
Clovis accuses the driver of setting him up. He's like, no, I didn't set him up at all. I've been here this whole time. I have no clue what's going on. The deputy wants a helicopter with a spotlight because it's getting dark. And
that's right.
So they go do that. They get a copter. There are so many cops here. All of Texas is here to stop him because I guess they're all bored. So they have nothing better to do. Because Texas is crime free. I don't know what, maybe not.
Probably not. Yeah.
So they try finding out a little bit about the people who are being broken out. They see that the girl's maiden name is Sparrow. Both the guy's parents are dead. Clovis's parents are dead.
Oh.
So then we see the cop who's driving, he's locked up in a car. They go to like a car lot.
Uh-huh.
And he's sitting there and he's locked in the back of the car. He's tied up. He says,
Maxwell? The cop?
Yeah, he's tied up. They closed it and they say, Clovis, please help me. Help me, Clovis. These cuffs hurt. Ah. Mm. And the oldest man ever gets out of the helicopter.
And the BFG.
He comes out and he's Mr. Sparrow. He is Lou Jean's dad.
Whoa.
And they're like, let's see if you can get on the radio and get these kids out. And you're like, okay, I'll do that. So he comes up. He comes up to the radio, and they're like, just click the button and say the words. And he's like, click the button and say a word. Okay. So he says, and we cut back to Maxwell. He's the only one in the cop car now, and he's the only one who hears on the radio. And he just hears over the thing, Lou Jean, this is your daddy. They brought me in a helicopter. I'm letting you know that you're doing a bad thing, Lou Jean. I'm disappointed in you. If they gave me a gun, I'd shoot you on sight.
Holy shit.
I think you're a disgrace and a horrible, horrible woman, and I'm really not proud of you at all.
Oh my God.
And this whole message only
is heard by Maxwell.
Maxwell's the only one who hears it.
Yeah.
And then Lou Jean appears and is like, hi, can I get you a jacket? Like, you're to help out to, Maxwell. Like, I'm sorry you have to sleep in here, but you know how it is.
And which means that Maxwell's like, no, her dad's wrong.
Her dad's wrong. And then he also says, like, can you turn off the radio?
That's and really sweet.
I know, it's a cute little moment. And I didn't really get the whole context, but with the whole context,
now
it's
you
a
know.
Cute moment.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning, I'm like, all right, I mean, this guy's a dick, but maybe she is awful. I don't know what she did beforehand.
She seems, again, like a victim of circumstance.
The cop guy says, like, Lou Jean, you know, you may have took the wrong turn at life, but, like, you're actually a good person. She's like, yeah, prison made a woman out of me. meanwhile, Clovis is hanging out in an RV.
Prison almost made a woman out of Clovis.
And then the RV's there. Clovis is trying to get on. He's like, I have a gas stove. They're having a good time. They start hanging out with each other, maybe going to try to get a little hookup going on. But they both kind of laugh a lot. Like, this situation is ridiculous. And I thought at one point he was going to get shot or something, but nothing happens. It's just very awkward. But they both kind of get sad. She takes off her shirt, and they watch the free movie outside, which is like a drive-in movie.
What is it?
Wile E. Coyote cartoon with the bug, with the, not bugs, not the Bugs Bunny. Why can't I think of the Roadrunner? Roadrunner.
No, Yosemite Sam.
It's got all that shit in it. And it's like, we got this free movie. Oh, I wish we had sound. And also she's like, wish you get drunk. You're real fun drunk, Clovis. And he says, you know, you're my wife. Even if we don't get the baby, you know, I'm still really happy to be here with you. And she's like, damn, I wish we had sound. And also she's like, we have to get the baby though. Like, it almost sounds like he's like, let's just get out of
like,
here.
Like, yeah, let's just
stop this whole thing. Yeah. Like, give up and maybe we'll be together. She's like, no, I got to get the baby. I will say the characterization of her is feels very sexist.
I agree.
It's just a lot of just like, she's a fun character, but all of them are like the most like woman in movie trope ever.
Yeah.
She's like, I love babies. I'm hysterical. I do crazy stuff. I have to pee. I'm never doing the right thing. I'm causing so much problem for these men.
Yeah.
For my husband who's just trying to survive. I broke him out when I shouldn't have. Stuff like that. Like, she's kind of doing all that.
She's hysterical.
Maybe this is based off a true story. I don't know.
I should look up what the true story is and see how accurate it is.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate it is. But they do say at the end, like, what happened to the characters. So.
They all died.
They all died. Every single one of them. So anyway, yeah, she's like, wish I had sound. And he's then like, I can make the sound effects. He starts making all the sound effects for Wile E. Coyote.
That's cute.
But then his face gets really serious when he sees Wile E. Coyote jump off a cliff and then fall and die. Like, he falls into, like, he falls forever into, like, one of those things. And it has, like, the, you know, cartoon outline of him. He does that, and he just looks at it, and he just starts, like, you're like, oh, man, he's thinking about, like, fuck, maybe he'll die after all this.
Maybe he'll fall off a cliff.
Maybe he'll fall off a cliff at this rate. Then we cut to a man. Beautiful shot of the garage door opening. Well, it's inside the garage. You see the garage door opening. You see the shadow, like the silhouette of this man. He's got his gun.
Yeah.
He's getting everything set up. Some guys come drive by, and they get in his car, and they're like, we're going to go. We're in the reserves, and we're going to go help with this whole shenanigans that are going on. So, so this extra cavalry shows up, and they are going off. And then we see they come back the next morning. So they stay the night in the RV, our two main characters. And they go back and they release the cop out of his little cop car and they say, hey, okay, you're here. Now let's go find a new car to steal.
Right.
And so they're trying to find one and then they're trying to get the current car working so they can use the toilet and all that stuff. And like the cop and Clovis are talking. He's like letting the cop use his shaver and everything. And they're kind of talking about stuff. And Clovis is like, yay, how much you get paid as a highway patrolman? He's like, not a lot. And he's like, Yeah, I was thinking I want to be a highway patrolman. He's like, you have to have no felonies. He's like, oh. Dang, that sucks. Okay.
Fucked.
But they're like bonding a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was thinking about actually giving up this whole life of crime and stuff and like being a good person. If I give up now, what would I get? He's like, oh, not a whole lot. Like, if you give up now, like, I obviously you're going to have to go to jail, but obviously. Like, it wouldn't be that bad. I'm sure we could talk it down a little bit.
This man is fucking with him. And don't pay attention.
Like, I know exactly. He's like, wouldn't it? But then he's like, yeah, but it wouldn't make Lou Jean happy if I did that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep doing this.
Nice.
So the crew I was mentioning earlier, I'm going to call them the redneck crew that just got in the car. They spot him. They actually have a kid with them. And the kid is like, I want to be a cop like my dad. And they are trying to hotwire a car while this crew spots them. They get all posted up. And they're like, oh, I can't get this car hotwired and working because they ran the battery all night.
Oh.
Like, shit. All right. Well, we have to like get over here and jump it. And then by this point, the hillbilly's like, let's shoot him. And they start shooting him. And I'll take the redhead. And they just start shooting. And Clovis runs after the cop who tries to make a break for it. And there's just shooting everywhere. Damn. And the kid runs away. He's like, this is crazy. He doesn't want to be a cop no more, I don't think.
He doesn't want to murder innocent people.
Yeah, exactly. And Lou Jean gets in the cop car and goes crazy, just starts pressing all the buttons on the receiver and is like, we're at this particular car lot, come get us, Captain. Why are they shooting at us? Tell them to stop shooting. They're like, all right, we know where they are now, come get them. And they send the whole crew to surround them, basically.
Yeah.
And they make the kids make all of them stop shooting. And I noticed on the redneck's car, it says register communist, not firearms. Cool guy.
Very cool guy.
So the cops actually yell at the guys and they tell them to stop shooting. They're like, stop shooting. You're just shooting at people. You can't do that. That's our job.
I'm nowhere in hockey pads.
So then they demand, like, over the loudspeaker, let us keep going to Sugar Lane. Once I get my baby, I'll let your Sugarland Lane, whatever. Sugarland Express, who cares? So once I get my baby, I'll let this guy go and it'll all be fine.
Uh-huh.
And the captain thinks for a moment, is like, all right, you know what? No more blockades. You guys stop running things and blowing things up and causing problems and blockades. You just drive normal and we'll follow you and you guys can go meet your baby. Let's just go to the place.
Right.
He's like, all right, fine, let's do it. And Lou Jean's like, I believe you, Tenant. You're a good man. Then she hangs up on the loudspeaker. And then the guy next to the captain's like, you're not really going to let him take the baby, are you? And he just kind of looks at him like, take Waters and Fino in the chopper and get him to the home of the baby. Get him to the home of the baby.
Yeah, it's all a trap.
It's all a trick. They talk to those guys who are reserve cops, and they're like, oh, they ain't run reserves, actually. They've not been on the active list for more than a year. They were just pretending to be cops and having a good time shooting. Yep. And they were just shooting everything. They're just destroying cars more than actually shooting at people.
Yeah, I figured. These are the Blue Lives Matter fucks.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the captain starts, grabs their gun and starts breaking off all the like lights and everything off of their car. And he's like, you get this cop radio out of here. Also, you guys don't be cops anymore and get arrested.
Right.
You arrest them. I noticed they drove by an Arco. Their logo hasn't changed in 50 years.
That's kind of amazing. But right? You know, it's like, yeah, that's recognizable.
Yeah. Also, what are you going to do? It's Arco. Are you going to not get gas?
It's four letters.
Yeah. So then I was going to write orphanage lady, but it was the mom of a baby.
It's the mom. Yeah.
It's the mom of baby Langston.
Yeah.
Is like, you're not going to let them take the baby away. And the captain's like, no, ma'am, they're not going to get the baby. Don't worry about it. We're just using this here as they're setting up in the house to like basically trap these people. So people are just chilling. They're driving, having a good time singing. I guess the cop is teaching Clovis to drive because maybe he's not familiar with driving at all. And then everyone knows these people at this point because the media has been promoting them so heavily and like talking about them so much.
They're like the Bonnie.
They have a following behind them, and people are trying to get photos with them. They stop at a gas station to pick up supplies, and this lady takes a photo with a Polaroid, and then Mary Lou shakes it, and she's like, Lou Jean, one of those Lou's. She shakes the Polaroid and looks at it and tears it up. She's like, I hate this. Give me some supplies. Give me some hair curlers and things like that. I need to look good.
Right.
And they're like, the cops are like, no more rubbernecking. This is getting crazy with all these people mobbing them.
Yeah.
And then it's like, there's one town before they get to where they need to go. And in that town, I want you to let them know that, like, you guys can't have a big mob. I don't care if it's the 4th of July. And I'm like, another movie on the 4th of July?
I was going to say, and people say you can't mob around. And then he says, you tell me that there's two young kids running around with guns on their hands.
We're going to hang out. And they're just trying to get justice. They're just trying to get their baby. They're not bad guys. The media probably doesn't portray them as that.
No, absolutely not.
They haven't killed anyone.
Not yet.
A lot of property damage, but whatever.
Yeah.
So they're setting everything up. And they're gonna go to the next place. Mary Lou's got rollers in her hair, trying to fix her hair. She's like, usually you'd want to do this when it's wet. And then she just sprays it all with a bunch of hairspray. And then everyone's like, oh my God. And they roll down the window. And then actually while they're driving, a press car pulls up next to them. And a guy pops out with a long boom mic and is like, hey, I want to interview you. What are you guys doing over here? What's the plan and everything? And he interviews both the cop and the guy and the Clovis.
Mm.
But doesn't there be Mary Lou? And she's upset. That's Mary Lou. Mary Jean. Lou Jean. And then the cop actually is like, get away from them. You can't be interviewing them. And then it pulls out a gun and shoots the press van.
Holy shit.
And the van goes and falls into a ditch. It's a pretty cool stunt because there's people on the roof.
Yeah.
And then they all jump off and like land
Holy
in
shit.
The ditch.
Does he actually like hurt anybody?
No, they just like, the car just falls over.
I was terrified.
I know.
I don't want them to get in trouble.
Yeah, well, it seems like cops are doing the most problems.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Well, anyway.
It's tales all this time.
So they actually like get on the radio and like, hey, so like, can you guys pull over and stop? Because we want to clear out the town beforehand because we don't want you to have any people bothering you. And they're like, Lou Jean's like, well, I like the people. I want to see the people. Clovis, can we see the people? Yeah, let's see the people. And the cop's like, and they're like, everyone who's in favor, vote. Like, raise your hand if you're in favor of seeing the people. And both her and Clovis raise their hand. But the cop's like, he's like, come on. He's like, fine,
come on,
whatever.
Let's see the people.
I know. I mean, you guys can go do it if you want. You guys are winning like two versus one.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I want a unanimous vote. And then he's like, fine. He agrees. And you see him like, they got a little reflection of him in the mirror and he's kind of smiling a little bit. He's like, yeah, he's liking these guys a little bit.
Yeah.
So the next town is this is an amazing shot. There's just so many people in this.
Wow.
There's a huge group of people, a huge almost parade for them, basically.
Mm.
It's incredible. The cops are actually like patting people down and taking their weapons because, you know, it's Texas.
Right.
Because
they have a lot of them.
Yeah. A lot of people just start giving Lou Jean and Clovis a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like someone gives them a wallet with money. Someone gives them a pet pig named Stella. Someone gets like a ribbon, or Mary Lou actually starts Mary Lou. Lou Jean starts giving out a ribbon. And people just keep giving her things like diapers and all this different things.
Mm-hmm.
And Lou Jean's like, Clovis, after this, I want to settle down. I don't want any more life of crime. And I think Clovis is like, I don't think we're going to be able to settle down.
I was going to say, there's no way we're getting out of this. Yeah.
There's no way we're getting out of this. And there's like a whole, just a huge squad following them. And kids are counting how many cars, because it's not just cops at this point. It's like actually people are driving with them and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like up in the 200s of cars following them. And so at this point, we cut back to Baby Langston's house. And they're moving the kid and everyone out to the courthouse. They say, we're going to do the transfer at the courthouse, guys. Everyone go here.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole crowd's like, all right. So they go down to the courthouse with the baby because they're like, it's a more public area. But one reporter, old reporter guy is there. He's like, they're like, why are you still here? He's like, aren't you guys going to the courthouse? He's like, you know the whole thing. If you're going to get on in here. And he's like, I knew it. This is what they did to Terrible Ted back in the day. So I guess he's going to watch
Terrible Ted.
Terrible Ted. The same fate for Lou Jean and Clovis.
Yeah.
Terrible Ted. So as they're driving, the cop's like talking on the radio. And he's just like talking to the captain. The captain's saying stuff like,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to, you know, we're going to get you there and
do what we can.
We're going to arrive at the place and I'm not going to follow you.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever happens there happens. And the cop's like, they're basically saying like, the captain's like, I'm not going to be able to keep my word on this promise. You're going to get your kid.
Yeah. That's
and
ridiculous.
Clovis is suspicious about this.
He's suspicious.
He says, I'll just go to the home myself in private and make sure no one pulls a fast one. Like, make sure they stay behind me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he's like, so what are you guys going to do after all this? He's like, well, Lou Jean's got a cousin in Mexico City. We're just going to go down and live with her after all this blows over. So I think that's our plan. We're going to make an escape. And I really like the captain and the cop's face during this time because they both know that, like, they're basically leading these people to their deaths.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, like, can't say anything, yet they kind of have to imply stuff, but they don't want to be like... I mean, the cop can't just be like, they're going to fucking shoot you.
Right.
You know, they're just going to imply, like, they might not be able to keep their word. And the captain's like, you know, you should call this off. Like, we could, you know, call this whole thing off. I know you're really close, but, like, and he's like, we came all the way here. And while the captain's, like, hangs up the radio, a fucking hearse shows up next to us.
Holy shit.
And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That's pretty awesome. I was like, that's some great symbolism right there.
Damn.
Very on the nose in case, like, even the audience was like, I don't What's think they're going to shoot him. I think it's okay. Yeah. I trust these guys. So let's see. They're about ready to arrive at
Chekhov's snipers.
They're about ready to arrive at the place, and the cop tells Clovis, don't stop, keep going. Like, look around you. Like, this whole place is empty. Why is it so empty? And we need to just keep driving. You can't stop here. And he's like, No, my baby's right here. Lou Jean. I don't know why I have Mary Lou stuck in my head.
Lou Jean is a strange name.
Lou Jean. Yeah. It sounds like Blue Jean.
Blue Jeans. Blue Jeans. Blue Jeans.
Lou Jean is like, no, I got to see my baby. We're right here. And she's like, all right. So they park in front of the house. And he's like, isn't there just something weird about this? Like, all right. Well, he's like, well, I'm going to go up to there and get my baby.
Yeah.
And you should come with me, cop man. And he's like, no way I'm going to let that. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
And Lou Jean pops her head out and just starts screaming, Baby Langston! Baby Langston! They took him away! They took him away! And Clovis starts walking up towards the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the snipers with their little...
Oh, shit. Their little bullets in their ears. Oh, shit.
And the cop's like, Lou Jean, you got to get down. Like, yeah. You got to get down.
You're going to get fucking shot.
She gets down. And... But they almost are not going to take the shot because there's like a tree in the way. And they're like, ah. And then Lou Jean is like, oh, I feel bad. Maybe you should come back, Clovis. And he starts walking back and they shoot him.
Clovis?
They shoot Clovis. And all this chaos starts happening. Clovis gets in the car, drives off. And the cop's like, let me look at you. And he's got so much blood coming out of his stomach. And it's real bad. He starts patching him up with... diapers that try to stop the bleeding.
Oh yeah,
and you know, like Lou Jean also... of course going crazy in the back because she's screaming.
She's hysterical.
She's freaking out. Literally, Clovis is like, "My wife is so loud.
I wish he would shut the fuck."
They're driving erratically. He's starting to get worse. The cops shoot the car. They pull over finally. They just kind of evade the cops for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They pull over by a river, and the cops surround the car and. Our main guy, I can't remember his name, Richardson? The cop, the main normal cop.
Oh, God.
I can never remember his name.
Me neither.
I don't know. The main cop gets out.
Maxwell?
Maxwell, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other cops surround the car, and they go to the front, and the captain's there, and he pokes, and he sees that Clovis is dead. And Lou Jean is in the back, completely in shock.
I am, too.
I know. So the cop goes.
It's going to happen.
And he's still freaking handcuffs.
Is he
going
to come back? Is she going to cry on him, and then he's going to come
no,
back?
No.
Or like an alien's gonna show up and like bring him back.
No, this is based off a true story.
Fuck.
So the cop goes and reflects by the water, and he's
well, that's
like,
the only thing you can do.
Boo! And the captain comes and he's like, "You took my gun, but he wasn't gonna use it." He's like, "I know, but like, what else are we supposed to do?
We're in Texas."
And he gets the hand. He eventually gets him out of the handcuffs, and you just see the captain walk away, and the cop just looks over at the sunset, all this water. And the credits come up. And the credits say, Lou Jean served 15 months of a 5-year prison term. Mm-hmm. Following her parole, she convinced the authorities that she was fit and able to take care of baby Langston. Now they live in a small West Texas town. Wow. Both the captain and the officer still serve. And that's the end of the movie.
Wow. Let me tell you what really happened.
Yeah, tell me what really happened.
So one thing.
Uh-huh.
Lou Jean... or the person who Lou Jean is based on, did not break her husband out of fucking prison.
Okay.
He was released.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't like her being hysterical.
I don't know why they had to add that.
I think because they needed a reason. So
the reason to make her crazy.
A reason for there to be like a chase and concern. So basically what happened was he was already released, and then he married the person that Lu Jin is based off of, which is a person named Isla Faye Holiday,
okay,
of Wheel Lock, Texas. After his release, they were married 4 months before the incident, and they had two children. She had two children from a previous marriage, and her ex-husband was housed in Huntsville State Prison. Her children had been taken from her by Child Protective Services, but put in a care of another mother in Wheel Lock. And the saga began on May the 2nd, when her new husband, Bobby is the guy that Clovis is based off of, this guy named Bobby, he allegedly committed an armed robbery or a snatch and grab at a gas station, and the police began pursuit at around 1:36 a.m., very early. Newspapers then reported it was a minor traffic violation that preempted the attempted traffic stop. Bobby, with the Louisiana forgeries hanging over his head, which is what he got arrested for originally, determined to never go back to prison, made the choice to flee, a choice that set in motion the deadly outcome that transpired, because he did eventually die. He was eventually shot by the police.
So he wasn't even trying to get a baby?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was just evading the police.
So there probably was no parade of people. So this is so loosely based.
It's very loosely based.
Like,
yeah.
Barely at all.
Yeah. In real life, Isla Faye did not break Bobby out of prison. He had been released, and 2 weeks before the slow motion car chase began, unlike in the film, Bobby was shot at Isla Faye's parents' house when he was captured and died about an hour later at Bryan Hospital. The shooting took place in Wheel Lock, Texas, where they were going because that's where her two children were currently living at the time from a previous marriage. She was sentenced to 5 years in prison, but only served 5 months. Okay. Not even 15.
Wow. You made that right.
Yeah, exactly.
But, unless I typed that wrong.
It's possible.
It could have happened.
Knowing you.
Mary Lou.
Mary Lou. Yeah, it's been a long day, Miller said before he and Crone started their long trip back to Beaumont. Crone said, I never wanted to repeat such an experience. Crone was one of the guys that shot him.
So did they even capture a cop?
No, they did.
Okay.
They absolutely did. Okay, they did capture a cop. But it seems more like he was like, he probably did it because he was just like, yo, I am not going back to prison. And then he got put in a really bad situation. And then he just did that, basically. Yeah,
that makes sense.
But yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up is what happened to Baby Langston?
Yeah, what happened to Baby Langston?
So Langston, the actor that played Baby Langston,
I think
is
doing all his research
unhappily still alive.
Unhappily still alive?
Yeah, because he's ugly.
He might be hot now.
I can't find a legit photo of him.
Aww.
But he's currently living in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, shit. We might have bumped into him at some point.
Not only that, he is an absolute Nepo baby because his last name is Zanuck, which, if one were to pay attention, is his dad is the producer of this movie.
Oh.
And also wound up...
Literal Nepo baby.
Big old Nepo baby. Would go on to produce a bunch of other Steven Spielberg movies, including Jaws.
Huh.
Yeah, the Zanuck family is pretty well known for that. Harrison Zanuck is... Zanuck is the name of Baby Langston's actor. He also did... he's mostly known as a visual effects plate coordinator, which I've never heard of before. The last movie he worked on was in 1998, Deep Impact on the visual effects team. He also worked on Dante's Peak.
And he's like, working's hard, I give up.
And T2 3D Battle Across Time as the CG coordinator. And I guess on Apollo 13 as well. He did the visual effects technical assistant at Digital Domain.
Huh.
He's also a producer. And it looks like he was the associate producer of The Zero Theorem, which is a movie that Terry Gilliam directed. So Terry Gilliam, I think, just like tricked these people into giving him money.
As usual.
And the only acting credit he has is The Sugarland Express. He's also thanked and plays himself in Don't Say No Until I Finish Talking, the story of Richard D. Zanuck, which is his dad.
That's so weird.
His dad was a prolific producer and director known for producing also Deep Impact, which is actually kind of hysterical that his son did the special effects for the movie and he produced it.
Yeah.
He also produced Cocoon, Driving Miss Daisy, like I said, Jaws, Dark Shadows. Oh yeah, he also produced a bunch of Tim Burton movies, including Sweeney Todd, Alice in Wonderland, Clash of the Titans, Yes Man, Charlie and Chocolate Factory, Big Fish. So like, not everything was great.
No, but he made some big ones.
But yeah, so that's where the little kid was from.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is a fun little journey. Don't know what that kid looks like, but you know what? He wasn't in front of the camera after that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm gonna say still a little goblin.
So what are your thoughts on this movie?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I liked how it was shot.
I will say the biggest flaw is probably just the way
it handles women.
Yeah.
I was looking up some other people talking about this movie, and across the board, everyone's like, this is weirdly misogynistic.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially like knowing the real story where it's like, she didn't like instigate this.
No,
at all.
They literally just used her as a scapegoat. And at the end, like, she literally was like the one who's like, Clovis, go check on him. Like, got him killed. And then she feels bad. And it's just like, it just feels kind of gross.
It sucks because, like, Goldie Hawn is such a cool actor.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks.
She does a great job. Like, she's fun. She's a fun character.
Yeah.
She's just such a dummy.
Yeah.
And that's like, it just, it's almost like, why is she? She's just very doe-eyed and just kind of like living life and just wants one thing and that's it. And we'll do anything to get it. Just being a mom.
Yeah.
And it's just like, do you have any other character trait besides like dreaming of being a family? Because that's all you talk about with Clovis. Like, aren't we great if we had a family?
It'd be great if we were.
And I'll do anything to get it. I'll tell you to die. And then now you're dead. And I just sit here and look in shock. And that's the last of my character.
Shocked and surprised. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel
that's
like
the biggest flaw.
Huh?
That's the biggest flaw. The rest of the movie's
massive
awesome.
Flaw. Visually incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, learning more about the history, I'm like, well, we could have made Clovis a bit more of a shithead, I think, or like, you know, done something more with him. You know.
Yeah.
I think the movie's trying so much to make it feel like give us a reason to follow these two. Where I'm like, I think you could probably make a better movie about like Lou Jean or whatever being stuck in this relationship with this guy, previous marriage, like all this stuff.
Yeah,
like,
but then
rather.
Why? Yeah, but then it'd be hard to be like, why would she break him out?
Why would she break out?
I know.
The thing is, like, follow the history.
Oh, like he actually comes back, and then,
yeah.
But like, a man wouldn't want to be with a kid.
That's true. That's gross.
Nah, men don't like that.
Men don't like
being dads.
Men are not interested in
it.
That.
They hate it.
I feel like we need to end every one of these movies with like stinker or something. Stinker or.
Is there anything that's good that's a better.
Stinker or better?
Stinker or better. No. Stinker or gooder.
Stinker or gooder. Perfect.
Stinker or gooder.
Stinker or gooder? Gooder.
Gooder.
Very
good.
I like this movie a lot.
Yeah.
I know it didn't make a lot of money. Again, I think that's chalked up to the fact that it was his first film. But I loved how it was directed. I loved like a lot of the cool found people in it. I don't feel like that's something you see pretty like that often in Spielberg movies. Feel like more often.
It felt like it was his early days when he had like less of a budget to work with, I think.
Like, I even feel like in like Indiana Jones 2, like some of the you know, the people that
the native people.
Yeah, I was trying to find the right like non-offensive term for them. Like, they were cool, like found people. That,
yeah,
like I it's something that I feel like he doesn't do often nowadays, and I really appreciate this part of his career where he's just like, it feels almost like a Robert Altman thing where he's just like, let's just like throw some like normal people in this movie and see what they do.
Yeah.
I miss that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a nice touch. It makes it feel very grounded.
Yeah.
And like, I can feel like the sweat, you know,
yes.
Feels like a very sweaty movie.
Yeah,
it was good. I quite enjoyed it.
It's a gooder.
Its big flaw.
Gooder. Guys, do you have any other Spielberg movies that you would recommend to us? We have movies picked out, but if there's anything that you think might, maybe a movie we've never heard of before, a movie that might not be on his Wikipedia for some reason.
He's got a secret movie.
A secret movie?
If you guys can hook us up with a secret lost Spielberg film.
I love that. Email us, nemotheotherhalfpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Discord and on Blue Sky. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes or keep up to date on newer Spielberg episodes, listen to our Always episode as well. That is a real stinker. You can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read on the show no matter what it says, even if it is a plea for your baby. You want to just see your baby so bad.
I'm gonna steal your cat, dude.
Don't steal my cat.
I was trying to think of any babies you have around here.
Oh my god, if you stole my cat, I would break my partner out of prison and
we'd go steal that cat back.
We'd go get that cat back somehow. Yeah, that's honestly the biggest flaw as well. It's like, Lou Jean, there's no way that you're going to get away with any of this.
That's the thing, is she's so dumb, it's hard to believe, right?
It's like, so stupid.
Yeah, it's like, what world does this work?
None.
What, why does she even think this? And like, she's clever enough to do, like, break a person out of a prison, so it's like,
yeah.
But yet you're not able to comprehend that, like, why would you break him out early when you could go get the baby later, not have the
like
everyone
in 4 months.
On your tail?
Yeah. I know she just broke out or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a mother. I don't know what.
I don't know what it's like to be a mom.
But I also don't think that Spielberg knew what it was like to be a mom at the time either.
Nah, he was a young man. He didn't know anything.
He's just like, women are annoying.
Yeah, they're loud.
That's right, an annoying woman.
They make a lot of noise when they're mad.
They're hysterical. Good night, everybody. Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better, and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
Why not? The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.